This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
HP joins GP GPU party.
And RogueWave adds Acumem to its HPC portfolio.
Hello, everyone, and good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for October 8th, 2010. Available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined once again by Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, good morning, Addison.
Good morning, Michael.
So you're back from some travels. Now you're back in the Valley, Silicon Valley.
Glad to be back home for a couple of weeks before we head out again.
Yeah.
More trade shows to come.
Yeah, that's right, more trade shows. But this week we had some news in Silicon Valley, so you got back right at the right time.
Yeah, I got pre-briefed on a couple of items, and the first one was this HP story where it's an architecture story. They've launched a couple of ProLiant servers, but one of them in particular was interesting with the inclusion of GPUs.
Right. I mean, HP's been into GPUs for a while, but mainly as sort of an add-on thing. So like the early GPGPU offerings from NVIDIA, they were reselling some of their NVIDIA servers. They had the cards you could add into the to any server with just a PCI connection. But this time, they actually put the embedded GPUs on board, like a lot of the other vendors we've seen do. And this is sort of their first one of that, at least their first productized version. They had some customized versions before that, but their SL390S G7, which is...
That's right. They've got a couple of new SKUs. They're all in the ProLiant line. There's the ProLiant SL170S G6, which seems to be mostly a data center play, right?
Yeah, that looks like web servers, right? But maybe a little bit
per watt, high density kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. That might have some HPC play for certain customers looking for embarrassingly parallel type things, but mainly it's for providers and web 2.0 guys.
And then they got the ProLiant SL390S G7, which either comes with or without GPUs.
Right, exactly. They have a 2U version, 2U box with the GPUs, and they have three GPUs on board in that version with a dual socket Westmere. And then the non-GPU version is a 1-year box. I shouldn't say box. These are actually trays. These are like trays like SGI has now, where you don't have that metal on top. You just slide them in to a chassis. It's a little bit different.
Right. And these have 10 gig and 40 gig InfiniBand on board, right?
Right, exactly. So they've got, and this is sort of the first ones they've built like that as well, where they're starting to put the Mellanox silicon on board. And it's like you said, it's the ConnectX 2, so it's either InfiniBand or 10 gigabit Ethernet. Depending upon what the application is. And there are HPC applications out there that are using gigabit Ethernet as well. So, but it's all on board now, so no more HCAs that you have to put. It's all sort of purpose-built. And this is an interesting development from HP, because they've been sort of lagging some of the other OEMs and sort of putting together something like this, a more purpose-built thing, you know, where you have the onboard InfiniBand, and now, of course, the onboard GPUs has become traditional, you could say. You at least need that option now to sort of compete against all the other ones out there from IBM and Dell and Supermicro and the rest of them.
Well, see, that's where I'm actually going to disagree with you, is I think that's exactly why this isn't interesting from HP. I think they are kind of following everybody right now. I think it's kind of a checkbox item and you know, great. So they've put together, a tray that's got these things in it. I don't know what real innovation we're seeing from HP out of this.
Well, I mean, it's a little different design than the others. I mean, they've got three GPUs on board. It's in like what they call a half-width server. So they have a chassis, this new chassis that came along with this announcement. You can basically put, let's see, it's eight of them. Well, eight 1U half-width, but it's four of the GPU versions into this chassis. And it's pretty compact. So you get like one, basically one
They advertise that it's got 1 teraflop in 1U of rack space, which went by, the presentation I got went by almost parenthetically. They almost forgot to mention it. I thought it was probably the most interesting thing in the entire presentation. Like, well, wait a minute, what's this that it says on this slide? Oh, yeah, by the way, there's a teraflop in 1U of rack space. Well, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, but anymore, you're right in the sense that that's not big news. There's other racks out there, and there's other even blade systems out there that can probably make that claim as well. But it is HP, and they've got a big chunk of the market. And to go along with this, that 390S G7 we're talking about, they got a big win even before they launched it this week. They've been putting hundreds into that Tsubame 2.0 supercomputer at Tokyo Tech. In fact, that's ready to get up and boot. I mean, there's something like over 1,400 of these new servers that have been already deployed there. So that's sort of a big win for them. They're starting out running on this.
Yeah, the Tsubame 2 at Tytech, I think, is a significant win. Now, Michael, you were pointing out that was a Sun system to start with.
Right.
So Tytech had to go somewhere.
They had to go somewhere.
And this is what we've known was coming, is all the big Sun systems that are out there have to convert to something. And I think HP was a very safe choice for them. They went with a big vendor to start with. They wanted to stay with a big vendor instead of going to somebody small. They wanted to go with someone who they felt like could support it at this level. And HP got the win.
Yeah, and that's a little surprising. But like you said, it's probably the conservative thing to do. There was a lot of other vendors out there that had GPU solutions before HP did, and for months.
But I don't think Tytech's going to go to APRO.
Right. They're probably wanted to get somebody with a lot more support. At least, they've got a foreign office there. I mean, HP is international. But, I mean, Tokyo Tech is very big on GPUs, so they could have gone to other companies. They just decided to go to HP. And that's a good thing for HP because, like I said, they're a little bit late to this game, but that's 1,400 servers right off the bat. That's a nice way to start a server launch.
It is, and I think this is probably something. Now, this is me conjecturing here, but I think this is probably something that was driven primarily through their remote field office, the Japan office for HP. I don't know how much corporate support they did or didn't have, but it is a nice win. Nice win for HP, regardless.
Yeah, and I guess, they had to meet these standards. I mean, Tokyo Tech is not really the biggest data center in the world. So they had to come up against, 200 square meters of floor space. They had to fit inside a 1.8 kilowatt, thermal envelope or power budget. So they actually had to design this thing. And I think this sort of was designed with that in mind. I mean, they productized this thing, but when they first started out, this was sort of, a special deal for Tytech. And they were able to do that. And I think it was just some good marketing and sales on the group in Japan, and it all seemed to work out. And I think it's going to be a big system. I mean, it's 2.4 petaflops, the total system.
If there's anything HPC focused, I think it was probably coming out of the field office. The corporate message that we've been getting from HP is focused on data centers, service providers, those kinds of things that really don't have any kind of HPC focused innovation. They're taking their data center products, they're repurposing them for HPC. They're going to keep getting some wins, but this is largely a fast follower approach into HPC without a lot of HPC focused. And I think we're getting more HPC innovation out of Supermicro than we are out of HP, to be honest.
Yeah, but they had to do something like this because I think the general HPC cluster market has really moved along. I mean, everybody's building purpose-built HPC. Everybody's putting Mellanox silicon on the motherboard now. Now they're putting GPUs on the motherboard. It's no more where you can just buy a rack of web servers, outfit them with InfiniBand HCAs, connect them together and call it HPC cluster. That was 5 years ago. Even Dell has given up on that. They're building purpose-built HPC as well. So
right. Well, I think this is why we've been seeing Dell overtaking HP in the market. Our demand-side research keeps coming in that HP's been falling back for 3 straight years, and Dell keeps coming on strong. So we haven't seen HP in the forefront of the HPC industry.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. I mean, some of the other analysts in this field would put HP at like a third of a share right next to IBM, but I guess from your research, you're seeing them fall behind.
I don't think that's right. They're certainly not up in a tie for the lead with IBM. IBM's been the clear leader in this market, and the question is whether Dell has overtaken HP in the number two spot. If you just look at the demand side numbers, then it's clear that Dell is ahead of HP. If you take apart their server numbers a little more carefully and try to model how much is going into HPC versus in other areas, I think it's less clear, but it's been clear that Dell has been gaining and HP has been falling back.
I mean, it wouldn't be too surprising to me, just anecdotally. You know, you hear about wins, you know, the bigger wins, usually just press releases and such. And, you know, I've been hearing Dell's and IBM's come in and fewer in HP's. I mean, that doesn't mean it's not happening. These are press releases. Some of the smaller ones don't make it that far. But
right.
It seems like there's some mapping between, you know, sort of the number of press releases for the larger and medium-sized systems and how well they're doing. So, yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me too much to see HP slipping a little bit. Now this, you know, maybe they'll make some comeback here. I mean, this is a decent system. It looks well-engineered. It got the attention of the guys at Tokyo Tech, who were very, I think, selective about what kind of infrastructure they're going to put into that system. They've got some pretty stringent requirements. So maybe this will help to turn some of that momentum around.
Yeah, I disagree with you again, Michael. This was a Sun site before, and the fact that Sun had this site didn't exactly launch Sun to overwhelming success in the HPC market. So,
you think there's a jinx there with some Tytech? You think they're going to...
I think that it indicates that Tytech is choosing technology based on things other than what their perception is across the HPC market. That, you know, it lets you win with a more data center oriented play, however it is they're choosing their systems.
I mean, it's interesting because the original Tytech system, the Tsubame 1.0, they picked clear speed boards. Now, certainly that didn't have the greatest ending either. It might have a little bit of a jinx factor there.
I guess. You know, we don't usually ascribe that much juju to our forecasting efforts, but I suppose it's possible that there's something karmic going on at Tytech. I'll have to talk to Chris Willard about building in a karma formula.
Yeah, there you go. Just add that to the calculation. But yeah, those guys are very much up on the technology, at least, and they look like they were building best of breed systems there, and certainly if you talk to HPC or HP, I should say, this is a best of breed system. I mean, the other parts of that Tsubame system, they've got the Voltaire switches, they've got DDN storage. I think NEC is the sort of the prime, the integrator over there. So they're letting everybody have a little piece of the pie, and I mean that looks like a very interesting system, and the software especially that's going to be run on that should be very interesting. So I don't know. I think I disagree with you a little. I think that guys at Tytech do know what they're doing.
Oh, I didn't say they don't know what they're doing. I'm just saying they might have a different approach to choosing a partner than some of the other large supercomputer sites around the world. Just yeah. Different heuristic is all.
Yeah, certainly in the U.S. where there's a different sort of a different model for choosing this system.
No, I would never imply that they don't know what they're doing. They know what they're doing over there at Tytech. It's just they've got different metrics that they're using. Now, you mentioned software. We should get quickly in before the end of our podcast, the RogueWave acquisition of Acumem.
Yeah, that was a very interesting development. We saw RogueWave, who, you know, maybe some of our listeners don't know. I mean, RogueWave has bought up a couple of HPC companies over the past couple of years. They bought up Visual Numerics with the IMSL library, and then shortly after that, Total View Technologies and their debugger, the well-known debugger in the HPC space, and then Acumen, which is less well-known. They started up in 2008, I believe, with their memory profiler and optimizer technology.
Right. So RogueWave's been putting together these disparate parts of the build and develop environment. What do you think of that?
Well, it's an interesting set. I mean, their story is they're putting together a cross-platform tool set, and they've got the pieces of it. They're not going into the compiler side of it. They're wanting to sort of appeal to all the HPC compilers that are out there and all the other compilers. I think the most interesting part of this tool set now is with the Acumen on board and with TotalView. Those two things sort of go together. So you've got two sort of analysis tools that work from the source side, and they sort of can work in tandem. One of them is a source code debugger and a memory debugger, and the other one is sort of a source code optimizer and memory optimizer. And those two things could be integrated down the road. They could certainly be bundled as they are into an interesting offering for an HPC user. So that, to me, that's sort of the most interesting part of this. I think that was a good thing to go along with TotalView. It complements it well.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, this is a part of the market where there is money that gets spent. I mean, $3.6 billion of HPC spending roughly in 2010 is going to go to software. And about a quarter of that, roughly, is tools of various types. Now, that includes a lot of things, compilers, libraries, profilers, debuggers, MPIs, you know, all kinds of stuff goes into that. But that's most of $1 billion up for grabs in different components of this. And Rogueway is trying to consolidate some of that.
Right. And their story is, I guess it's hard for especially these smaller tool companies. I mean, most of the pure play tool companies are small because they've got this sort of one focused product, but it's hard for them to exist as individual entities out there. It's just, there's a lot of labor costs, there's a lot of overhead, I guess, and consolidation, I guess, in a lot of sense makes sense. I mean, you've got Intel offering a complete tool line in their software group, and that R&D, I guess, can be amortized over their whole business. But when you have a small group of engineers in a small company selling very specific software, it's a much trickier business model. I mean,
yeah, that's why I like the consolidation here. I liked it when they bought Visual Numerics and TotalView. I like it now with the addition of AccuMem. It gives these smaller technology components stand a better chance of competing together as a tool set than they do individually. You bring up an excellent point with Intel. I think that's the long-term concern is how do you compete there, because you've got to find a way to get people to say, I want something more than the Intel piece, and go out for an external solution. But you're far more likely to do that in a consolidated fashion than to start picking and choosing.
Right. And from the Rogueway's point of view, they're selling cross-platform model. Intel sells this aside business to sort of drum up more product sales. I mean, it's not all to just sell chips, but eventually it is. I mean, they want to, you know, they have all these multi-core tools, these cluster development tools, libraries, all that. It's to pump up the sales on their hardware side. Whereas, you know, Rogueway can come in and say, well, you know, TotalView, we support BlueGene, we support x86, we support, you know, Linux here, we support Windows in certain cases. It's a more maybe vendor neutral offering than you'd get from Intel.
Yeah, it's more vendor neutral, and you mentioned this cross-platform, and there is no compiler in this whole set, and they don't want a compiler, right?
Right. Specifically, when I talked to Brian Pierce, the CEO, they're consciously making that decision. They don't want a compiler. He said, you know, there's good compilers, HPC compilers out there. If they, you know, if they chose one, again, it would lock them into a certain platform for their other tools. I mean, all these tools, the debuggers, the profiler, even the IMCell library to a certain extent are sort of cross-platform. If they had a compiler, they'd be competing against themselves unless they wanted to focus those on just that one platform. So, yeah, they're going to stay out of that business and offer this as a set of tools that can apply to a wide range of environments and configurations.
Great. Well, they're a fun company to watch. I wonder who they're going to buy next.
That's what I'm wondering, too. I think for now, maybe they'll take a breather. I think they've got a good set. But yeah, who knows? We'll keep an eye on them.
I wonder if their booth at Supercomputing will be, four different booths pieced together from different parts of the floor.
Yes, stitched together. Yeah, that'll be interesting. Well, we shall certainly be looking at them down the road and certainly be following HP as well. And see what happens when Tsubami boots up. And
can't wait. Talk to you again next week, Michael.
All right, Addison. So long.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.